Well, a family invited the grandparents over for dinner one night to have a nice evening supper. And during the meal, the 5-year-old boy said to his grandfather, "Grandpa, I want you to do your frog imitation for us." And the grandfather says, "I don't know what you mean. I don't know how to do a frog imitation." And the little boy said, "Well, I heard Mom say that when you croak, we'll all be rich." In today's gospel, we have the tenant farmers. When they see the sun coming, they say, "Let us kill him so we can get rich. Let us kill him so we get his inheritance." Take a look at today's gospel, Matthew chapter 21. A very powerful, very strong story from the Lord. He's talking to the chief priests and elders of the people. He's talking to the religious leaders. And he gives them a parable. A parable is a story that uses an earthly image to teach a heavenly truth. And so the Lord uses a story about a landowner. Of course, this landowner represents God himself, who had a very beautiful vineyard. His vineyard was Israel, the chosen people, the Jewish people, the people of covenant. And notice in the first reading, it very clearly says that his chosen people are like a vineyard, and God loves his chosen people. In fact, look at today's gospel. He protected them. He built a hedge around them. He dug a wine press. He built a tower. He went to great extent to show how much he loved them and cherished his vineyard, the vineyard of Israel, the people of the covenant. And he leases the vineyard to tenant farmers, and then he goes on a journey. Of course, the tenant farmers represent the religious leaders, the scribes, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. These are the people in charge of the vineyard. And so he leases them, and they're in charge. But then the harvest time comes, and so now he's ready to get the harvest. So he sends his servants to go tell the tenant farmers, "Now it's time for the harvest." Well, it says they beat up one of them. They killed another. They stoned another. Well, so then the king sent more servants. The landowner sent more servants, and they treated them the same way. Who were these servants? Well, they were the prophets. People like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, Elisha. They were messengers from God. They were God's messengers, God's servants, but they were treated very badly. Read about the prophets and you'll see some were killed, some were stoned, but they were largely rejected. So finally, the landowner says, "Well, I will send my son." Of course, this would be Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Notice Jesus is not a prophet. He's not a Muhammad. He is the Son of God. He is unique. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. So he says, "Certainly they'll respect my Son." And so he sends his Son. And it says, when the tenant farmer saw the Son coming, they said, "This is the heir. This is who will inherit everything. Let us kill him, and that way we'll get all his inheritance." And so it says they seized him. Remember, the Lord was seized in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then it says they threw him out of the vineyard. Scripture is very clear that when the Lord was crucified, they took him outside the city walls of Jerusalem, and there he was crucified. Well, then the Lord asked these chief priests and scribes, well, then what will the owner do when, you know, to the tenants when he comes for a visit? And they said, well, he'll have to put those men to death and give his vineyard to other tenants who will produce fruit and give him the produce in the proper times. And then the Lord says something very profound. He says, "Yes, your own words have accused you. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." So Jesus is the stone rejected by the builders. And yet the stone that they cast away that they thought was worthless, that has now been used to build a new structure. That is now the cornerstone to build the church, to build Christianity. And the Lord now says something so striking, so powerful, it must have shocked his hearers. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce much fruit. So here we have the transfer of the kingdom from the covenant people, the chosen people of Israel, to his new covenant people, the church, to Christianity. And our goal, our vocation, is to produce much fruit. What is the fruit that we're called to produce? Faith, hope, love. We're called to produce the fruit of mercy, compassion, good works, works of mercy, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of virtue. That is the fruit that we're called to produce, the good fruit of union with God. So in reflecting on this parable, how can we apply it to our life, especially today on Respect Life Sunday? I think this is a very appropriate gospel for Respect Life Sunday as we pray that we may always cherish and protect the dignity of each and every person from the moment of conception until natural death. And we look at in today's gospel, what was the problem with the tenant farmers? Is they did not accept the fact or realize that they were stewards. They were not the owners of the vineyard. They were merely stewards of the vineyard. And that God himself is the owner and we are merely stewards. And so they were so quick to shed innocent blood, the blood of the prophets. But look at our society. Our society is also very quick to shed innocent blood. We think today of, and our heart breaks when we think of the 50 million unborn babies that have been killed through abortion just since 1973 in our own country. Doesn't even consider all over the other parts of the world. But 50 million. Think of what Hitler did in shedding innocent blood during the Holocaust, killing 6 million innocent people. We've almost, in our so-called civilized society, have done almost 10 times worse than that in this genocide against the unborn of our own culture, of our own society. And it doesn't stop there. Look at what's happening now with the elderly, with euthanasia, assisted suicide, other things. We have domestic violence increasing in our society. We have homicide. Think of, you know, read the newspapers in the last number of years about the genocide that's been taking place throughout many parts of the world, wars and the attack on all life. All life has been under attack from conception until natural death. Look at what's happening with embryos, trying to harvest, you know, stem cells by destroying embryos, human lives, to get these embryonic stem cells. So whether it be the unborn child, the handicapped, the elderly, life is under attack. And so we see innocent blood being shed in our society. Why is that? Because we don't realize that we are stewards of God's creation. We are not God, and yet people play God. Certain people will play God and say, well, I can end this human life here. I can take this human life there. That is not being a good steward of God's creation. And stewardship is important in every aspect of our life. We're all called to be good stewards. Good stewards with our time, to use our time well, to build up the kingdom of God, to devote a certain amount of time every week to sharing the faith and evangelizing and visiting the poor and the lonely. Also, we're called to be good stewards of our money. The money that we have doesn't belong to us. It's a gift from God. Yes, you worked hard for it, but realize that we are stewards. So how do we spend our money? Do we give a certain amount, maybe 10%, to the poor, to the needy, to those who are hungry, to those who are dying? So we're called to be stewards of our time, stewards of our money. We're called to be good stewards, We're not the owner of our life. We're merely stewards. And when we think of in our modern society, you probably heard women say, "Oh, I have a right to do whatever I want with my own body." Well, that attitude shows this idea that the idea of stewardship is lacking. See, it's not our own body. It's a gift from God. We're stewards of our bodies, and how we treat them is important to be good stewards. And in fact, as you know, when a new life is conceived inside the mother, it's no longer her own body. It's a unique gift of God, a unique human person created in the image and likeness of God that has dignity and rights of its own. And so today we pray on this Respect Life Sunday for respect for all human life from the moment of conception until natural death. So let's not fall into the trap that we see in today's gospel of those who forgot the fact that they were supposed to be stewards, and they thought themselves as the owners, and they played God, and they were so quick to shed innocent blood. So let's pray today for our country. Let's pray our rosary, pray many prayers for the respect for all human life from the moment of conception until natural death.